because the air conditioning is a little bit loud over here.
Okay.
So the microphone is right there. So if you, whenever you're ready, just tell the story back to me.
Okay. A policeman was walking down the street checking businesses, and things seemed fairly quiet. He noticed one man standing by one of the businesses, and he asked him, he approached the man and inquired, and the man told him a story about how he and a friend of his had eaten at a restaurant at this precise location 20 years ago, and they were departing to seek their fortunes, the man somewhere in the West and his friend somewhere in New York. And they had agreed to meet at this same restaurant 20 years later, which was right now. And the policeman advised the man that the restaurant had closed about 5 years ago, and but didn't appear to see to find anything wrong. So he the policeman and the man parted company. Just as they parted company, a man approached from across the street, and the man and the both men asked whether they were the other, and one said he was Jimmy Wells, and the other one said he was Bob, and they both seemed to know about the agreement to meet at that particular place at that particular time. They both seemed to know that they both seemed to recall the last dinner they had 20 years ago. However, after they walked down the street and got into better light, one of the men noticed that the other face, well, they first noticed, one man first noticed that the other was about 3 inches taller than he had been. When they met before, they were 18 and 20 years old, respectively. And the one man said, well, I grew 3 inches after that period. And then one man noticed that the other man's nose was different, and told him that your nose could not have gone from, I think, a Roman to a pug nose. And so he thought he was someone else. And to be honest, I don't understand the rest of it, but one man said that something to the effect that someone named Chicago had warned him that this person was a crook or a criminal or something and should be arrested. And so he said that he was actually an officer of the New York Police Department, and he was arresting the other fellow. And that's sort of in a nutshell what I can remember.
Now I'm going to ask you to tell me a story.
Okay.
It could be a childhood experience, it could be work-related, anything, as long as it has at least two or three people in it.
Okay. From once upon a time, there were three co-workers who competed for promotions, for raises, for recognition, for anything that they could compete for, but who tried to at least maintain the veneer of civility. And despite the apparent hypocrisy, they embarked on this course for 2 or 3 years, and what might have amazed an outsider was the web of rules that seemed to control how they behaved toward each other. Certain kinds of behavior to advance one's own position seemed to be allowed. Certain kinds of behavior to denigrate others seemed to be allowed, but on the other hand, certain kinds of behaviors seemed to be out of bounds. And if you watched these people for 2 or 3 years, you would have noticed that the line was never crossed. And at the end of 3 years, the co-worker who had the lowest chance of being promoted to supervisor began to violate all the unwritten and informal rules, so that he began to make up lies, to deceive the other two, to deceive the bosses, to do things that the three of them had not done up to that point, in order to enhance his own position. When his behavior became apparent to the other two, they began to gang up on him and combine forces to hurt his position. As it turned out, none of the three got the promotion that all three had coveted, and that's the end of the story.
Okay, thank you. All right, now I'm going to tell you a very, very short story, and after it's over, I'd like for you to tell it back to me. Here's the story. While a lady was shopping, her wallet fell out of her purse. She didn't see it fall. When she got to the checkout counter, she had no way to pay for her groceries. So she put the groceries away and went home. Just as she opened the door to her house, the phone rang, and the little girl told her that she had found her wallet. The lady was very relieved. That's the story. Now I'll tell you back to me.
A lady was shopping and her purse opened and her wallet fell out.
Mm-hmm.
When she got to the checkout counter at the grocery store, she had no way to pay for her groceries.
Mm-hmm.
So she put away the groceries and went home. As soon as she got home, the phone rang and a little girl told her that she had found her wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was very happy.
Excellent. That was perfect. Thank you. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to run you through some memory exercises. Memory, there's three components of memory. There's short-term memory, which is our responsibility. Usually it's working memory, which is our workplace. We process in new information and old information in working memory. And then there's long-term memory, which is what we've required over the years. So this is a measure.
I understand as you get older, the short-term memory is the first to be affected.
It's the first to go. Absolutely. So the first one is a measure of short-term.
So what are we doing here?
This is a measure of short-term memory. Basically, what I'm going to do is give you some numbers, and you just say it back to me. Okay.
At the end of the list.
Yeah, I'm just going to repeat some numbers, and then you repeat it back to me.
Well, not number by number, but after a series of numbers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, 582.
You ready? Yeah. 582.
694.
693.
6439.
6439.
7286.
7286.
42731.
42731.
75836.
75836.
619473.
619473.
392487.
392487.
5917428.
5917428.
Excellent. 4179386.
I think you said 4179386.
Exactly.
But I'm not sure.
That's what I said. Okay.
I didn't know I could do 7 digits.
First of all, now we're going to 8.
No, forget it.
Let's try. Let's say it's 10. 5819647. 5819647.
9815247.
Let's try one more. 3829514.
3825914.
Okay, that's close enough. Okay, now, working, this is a measure of working memory. The same exercise, except
I'm sorry.
This is a measure of working memory now. In the same numbers, but I want you to tell it to me backwards.
No, I don't.
Okay. 2, 4.
4, 2.
5, 8.
8, 5. 626.
415.
415.
3279.
9723.
4968.
8694.
Perfect. 15286.
Six, eight, five, two, one. I lost it.
Okay.
I couldn't do this when I was 40 years younger. Go ahead.
Let's do one more. 61843.
38146.
Okay. My husband made the
video. Oh, okay. I couldn't do that.
But you did better than him. You only got as far as three. Okay, now this is a measure of long-term memory. These are categories. And what I want you to do is give me as many items in the category as you can think of in at least a minute. And I'm going to use my watch. The first category is foods. Give me anything you can eat in 1 minute.
Okay,
and go.
Hot dogs, hamburgers, spinach, beans, cauliflower, eggs, bologna, cheese, lasagna, pizza, meatloaf, cabbage, cauliflower, peanut butter, jelly, butter, chicken, turkey, duck, pheasant, lobster, beans, cabbage, eggs, bacon, sausage, cereal, milk, orange juice, grape juice, pineapples, apples, oranges, peaches, pears, plums, rice, potatoes, candied yams, buns, Danish. Milk, wine, beer,
ready up?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, that's good. That's enough. That was one. Okay, the next category is animals. Name as many animals as you can think of. And okay, now we got
squirrels, rats, dogs, cats, zebras, horses, cows, lions, tigers, leopards, hyenas, servals, mountain lions, cheetahs, jaguars, wildebeest, crocodiles, alligators, rabbits, moles, meerkats, deer, polar bears, grizzly bears, sloths, snakes, elephants, rhinos, hippopotamuses, giraffes, pandas, ants, bees, termites, roaches, fleas, flies, um, robins, blue finches, ravens, storks, penguins, ducks. Pigeons.
Running out?
Yeah, I'll stop there.
Okay. Last category is kitchen items. As many items in place as you can think of. They never do all the things.
I'll get through
them. As many items as you can think of in the kitchen. And bake it.
Knives, forks, spoons, juicers, microwave ovens, chairs, tables, tablecloths, refrigerators, plates, saucers, bowls.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Ovens. Ladles.
Inhibition, because in normal conversation we need to plan what we want to say, so we need to suppress, you know, things that are irrelevant. You know what I mean? So this exercise is a test of that. So this is just a setup to the actual exercise. So what I want you to do is read this, start here, and go through each line and read it as fast as you can. And I'm going to try for it. And
green, green, yellow, red, green, blue, blue, green, yellow, red, blue, yellow, red, green, roll, green, blue, yellow, green, blue, red.
Great.
And
next, these are colors. I want you to tell me, start again from here and go all the way down and tell me the color of each dot as fast as you can. And go.
Green, blue, yellow, red, green, blue, blue, green, yellow, red, green, red, green, blue, yellow, green, blue, red.
Great. Okay. Finally. Start here again and go all the way down, but this time, instead of reading the word, I want you to tell me the color that the word is printed in. So in this case, you would not say red, you would say blue. You would say
red. That's so
part. Yeah, I know. That's the inhibition part. Okay, and go.
Blue, red, green, yellow, green, yellow, green. Blue, red, blue, yellow, blue, yellow, red, green, blue, blue, red, yellow, green, red, blue, yellow, red. The last one really was red. It should be.
Yeah, this. Because we want to say red, blue, yellow, but you have to suppress that, so that's an exercise.
Except the last one, which is both red and red.
Yeah, see? have that. Remember the story about the woman who was shopping? Can you tell that story again to me?
Sure. A woman went shopping and her pocketbook opened and her wallet fell out. When she got to the checkout counter, she noticed that her wallet was missing and she had no way to pay for the groceries. So she put all the groceries back and went home. As soon as she opened the door at the telephone line, and it was a little girl who told her that she had found her wallet, she was very happy.
And that's everything. All that's left is where's my payment form?
I thought you were going to ask me to tell you my story again.
No. Let me have you fill this out. So I need to turn these to Pam. This is 7:30. No, that's me. You sign there. I sign there. Fill the top portion out and I'll turn this paper in today.
I don't know the zip code. I know the address.
I don't know. Figure a 2-week turnaround time because it has to go through accounting and processing. So, what do you think? 2 weeks? Where would you be?
I'll be there.
But do you have a change of address form so your old mail can go to your address?
Yeah.
You can do it that way. You can use your old address and it'll come to you. Or you can use your new address.
Okay. I can write the new address, it's just that I won't know the zip code.
Oh, okay.
But I probably didn't get there anyway.
Oh, that's just the phone number. You don't have to
put it in
there once. Let me this is a copy. This is a copy of this. I'm going to give this to you. And I've highlighted. This is the accountant that this is funded by Remy. And she is the accountant for the grant, and so everything is funneled through her, and I'll turn this into her today. So if you have any questions, you can call her if you like, and that's my number on the back. If you want to call me first, if you want, that's fine. And I'm also giving you a copy of the consent form with my signature on it, so that you'll have both of these for your records.
Should I call to give you or someone else a zip code once I find it out, or just...
We can probably find it. I can go on the internet and look
for
it.
Okay.
I don't think that'll be a problem. All right. And that's everything. And let me give you this envelope. Put it in. And I really, really appreciate your helping us out.
Thank you. And good luck with that.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thanks again.
Change the chair.